If you're connected to social media, you know that you often experience an abundance of vacation pictures from family and friends. Beautiful attempts to bring others into their vacation experience, but because you only see pictures, the beauty and the majesty of the place is really diluted. Welcome to Leading the Way with Pastor and the author of the new book, Heaven Awaits, Dr. Michael Youssef. Okay, unending vacation pictures on social media offer a two-dimensional glimpse into life elsewhere. An unrealistic view, really, because if you were there, two dimensions would become three or even four as you experience the sights and the sounds and the smells and the unique experiences of that special place. Well, up next on Leading the Way, pictures of heaven from God's Word as Dr. Youssef continues his series, Heaven Awaits. Listen now as Dr. Michael Youssef begins this episode.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 following, the Apostle Paul said, I saw inexplicable things in the third heaven, things I'm not permitted to talk about. Not only it was impossible to put in words, not only was it impossible to verbalize, but he was not allowed to talk about it. Now, if you read carefully the passage, I think you're going to have to agree with me about the third heaven, that some believers, when they read this, that they're baffled. A third heaven? Well, how many heavens are they? What difference between the first, the second, and the third heaven? I'm glad you asked, because I really want to answer you today. Let's be upfront, okay? Most Christians, I'm talking about Christian believers, I'm not talking about people outside, I'm sure some of those too, but don't really think about heaven much. It's not something you've been thinking about all day. It's not something you think about even occasionally. We might think of heaven when we go to a funeral or a graveside service and think about heaven for a moment, think about the question of eternity and so forth. But a few days later, we're back into our treadmills of life and forget all about it. But for those of us who love Jesus, those of us who know the Lord Jesus, know that heaven is our forever home. And that is why we must know everything that God's Word told us about heaven. The first thing that God wanted His believers to know is that heaven is not a vague notion, as some people would want us to believe, that heaven is not that ghostly place somewhere in the clouds. The heaven is a physical place. In fact, the word topos in Greek, it's a physical location. Heaven is a breathtakingly beautiful place. And therefore, studying about heaven, planning for heaven, focusing on heaven should be our greatest motivation for living this life. It could be the glorious motivation imaginable for living everyday life here on earth. As a matter of fact, all of the apostles, if you read their lives very carefully, every one of them, they lived, they worked, they served, and most of them, not all of them, most of them were martyred while they were gazing at heaven. So where are these three heavens? First of all, the first heaven. The first heaven is not where God is. That's not where God is. The first heaven actually is the devil's domain. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, I know we often quote it, and constantly we quote it to each other, and we remind each other where there's a great, great, great anchor. Our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil. Where? In the heavenly realm. In the heavenly realm. Let me explain this. In Ephesians 3:10, before 6:12, which I just read, in chapter 3, verse 10, there the Apostle Paul explains God's intentions. You say, what is God's intention? Does God have intentions? Yes. What are His intentions? that through the church, listen carefully, that through the church, that's not the local church, he's talking about the church of Jesus Christ, that is the elect of God from every language, tribe, and nation. That through the church, the believers, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to whom? The rulers and authorities in the heavenly place. You see, what does that mean? Listen carefully, please, beloved. Listen, this is important. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the issues that we face, regardless of the challenges that we experience, I'm getting ready to become a Pentecostal and shout right now. Because I know what that means. It means that our faithfulness to God demonstrates to Satan and all of his demons that God is true and God is right and that his judgment against Satan is righteous and just. Somehow I feel you're not getting it. I don't think you're getting it. I want to explainify it to you. When your focus is on obeying biblical truth, not modifying them and changing them to fit the culture. When you take your faithfulness to God seriously, then you are saying to Satan, Satan, God is true and you are not. You will never again think that it doesn't matter whether you obey the word of God or not. Why? Because your obedience to the word of God sticks your finger in Satan's eye. Glory to God. Beloved, listen to me. You and your faithfulness to God is an exhibit A before Satan and his demons. Your faithfulness proves that God is right and the demons are wrong. So where is that first heaven located? It's right here all around us. We can't see it. We can't hear it. But it's all around us. It's invisible around us. We live in the first heaven. The first heaven includes the invisible domain all around us. It is the unseen realm where the battle is raging between God's angels and Satan's demons. That raging battle that you cannot see and you cannot hear, but has enormous influence on our lives and on the events of the world. This is a personal feeling right now that we are seeing Satan and his demons unleashing upon our society venom like I have never seen in my life before. And I've seen a lot. The reason for that is that when God is rejected, demons are unleashed. But as born-again believers, those who are born again are only too aware of the spiritual battle in this first heaven. And don't ever forget that we are promised victory. Through obedience to the word of God and through faithfulness to Jesus. How do you get that? By spending time in intimacy with Jesus. And through boldly sharing the good news of Jesus. That's the first heaven. What about the second heaven? The Bible speaks about the second heaven as the universe of celestial heaven. Psalm 19 opens with these words. The heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hand. Sometimes when you look up at the night sky or you look at pictures taken from an orbit space telescope, you are seeing the second heaven. Please hear me right. The second heaven, where the stars and the galaxies are, they are the oldest preachers testifying to the power of God. They are God's silent preachers. And here's the good news. Here's the good news. They never tire. Praise God. They never tire of proclaiming the glory of God day and night. Day and night. They are testifying that our God is the God of power and might. that our God is the God of the supernatural, that our God is the God of miracles, that our God is the Lord not only of our planet, but of the whole universe. Long before prophets, priests, and apostles, and evangelists, long before the Word of God was even written down, the stars proclaiming the glory of God. They're proclaiming the power of His personality. And that is why God distinguished humankind. God created the humankind upright. The animals walk on four or slither on the ground. But we are created not only because we are created in God's own image, but we're created upright so we can look up to the heavens and see the glory of God. Romans chapter 1 verse 20. The Apostle Paul makes the point. Let me read it to you. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Those silent preachers in the second heaven, they speak loudly, they speak clearly of the glory of God. They are the gospel written in the stars. But listen to me, please. The heavens cannot contain the glory of God. It can only reflect it. Why? Because He's infinitely wise. He's infinitely loving. He's infinitely powerful. He's infinitely creative. And so the second heaven can only reflect His glory, can only declare His glory. And yet, God leans down and listens to the prayers of the least among us. What a God we worship. What a God we worship. It is high time that born-again believers no longer be intimidated by the doubters and the agnostics and the skeptics. Tell them to look up at the skies. Tell them to reach out for a star and pull it down. And when they do that, you can agree with them. Because the heavens declare the glory of God. Well, finally, I come to the third heaven. Place I can't wait to go to. This is what the scripture describes as paradise. This is the place that Jesus promised the thief on the cross, the repentant sinner, on the cross next to Him. This is what He promised him. He said, today you will be with Me in paradise. And this is the place that the Apostle Paul was taken to, where he saw with his own eyes and heard with his own ears some amazing things. There he saw and heard things that not only inexplicable, but he was not allowed or permitted to speak about. I don't know about you, but I think I can read between the lines and I can sense a touch of frustration on the Apostle Paul's part. You sense his longing to tell, but he was forbidden to talk about it, about this indescribable paradise. But also the third heaven is where all the believers who have departed our shores are right now with Jesus. The third heaven or paradise is not the new heaven that the scripture talks about. The new heaven will be revealed only after the old heaven has been rolled away. Again, come prepared next message. I'm going to tell you all about it. But to whet your appetite here in Revelation 21:1. Then I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Most of you know these following facts. Some may not, but I'll tell you anyway. That 71% of the earth's surface is covered with water. There are also water in the vapor in the atmosphere, and the moisture in the soil. There's also water in the plants and the animals and the human beings. And that is why scientists are always, whenever they are looking for life in the moon or Mars or wherever, any of the planet that they want to colonize, the first thing they do is they look for water. Why? because in order to establish human bases there, any planet, they need to find water to support life. But in the new heaven, in the new earth, we don't need water because we have glorified, resurrected bodies. Please listen to me. The third heaven or paradise, though it is filled with indescribable wonders and beauty, according to the Apostle Paul and John, it is not even close to being as wonderful as the new heaven that is going to be revealed with the coming of Jesus. In the third heaven right now is where our Lord Jesus Christ is, our great high priest, interceding on our behalf with God the Father. And that is why Jesus wanted us to pray, our Father, who's where?
Amen.
Who's where?
Amen.
He speaks those words to help us recognize the reality of heaven. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, we are told that there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 7:25 tells us, therefore, he is able to completely save those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for him. The Gospel of John chapter 17, this incredible high priestly prayer where our Lord Jesus Christ prays for the believers in the future, for all the time to come. He's praying not just for his disciples, but he's praying for you. He's praying for us in the high priestly prayer in John 17 as a sample of what he's doing now in that third heaven. I say this with utter respect and reverence to the Blessed Virgin Mary. She's not our intercessor. Our intercessor is the great high priest who died and rose again. Not his blessed mother, not the saints, not Peter, not Paul. No, they cannot even hear us, let alone help us. We have one mediator, and his name is Jesus. Please listen. It is thrilling beyond measure for me to know that Jesus is interceding for us. He's praying for us with the God the Father in the throne room of God. Right now. Right now. But that's not all. The third heaven looks down. It looks down on the second heaven and the first heaven. God is looking down on the second heaven and the third heaven. God the Father is looking down at that ancient serpent of old, Satan. And he's saying, in effect, Satan, don't ever forget, don't you ever forget that I'm in charge at the very highest heaven, that you are defeated by my Son on the cross, that your throne is my footstool, that your days are numbered, that you can roam the earth but for a limited time. Soon I will bind you with chain and throw you in the lake of fire. And here's the thing that breaks my heart and caused me to work every waking moment. There are many human souls that will end up in that abyss with Satan. Why do you think I do everything possible to go to the ends of the earth, that by God's power and God's grace, many will be rescued from hell? And I pray right now that every believer at the sound of my voice, every believer at the sound of my voice, is doing all you can in these last days to rescue friends, family members, neighbors, and telling them about the miracle of salvation in your life. You don't need a seminary degree for that. Proverbs 11:30 says, he who wins soul is wise. Another translation said, the one who is wise wins souls. Be wise, be loving, and be bold, and do all you can to rescue the perishing, You may be experiencing some sort of tug of fear about what's around the corner. Let me tell you something. If you have not settled the matter of your eternity, I'm glad you have some fear. The good news is you can settle the matter now. You can settle the matter today, this very moment. For those who have not settled that matter, they need to do it. The times are urgent. But for those who have settled this, you're born again, you know and you love Jesus. You are assured of heaven. Listen to me, please. You have no reason to fear whatsoever. For the moment when you close your eyes in death, the third heaven is awaiting you. Jesus coming back with those who have gone before us and those who are going to be on the earth at that time of the return of Christ and those who are going to come with Him, they both are going to be united and entering by being ushered by Jesus Himself into the new heaven. Praise God. Will you pray with me? Father God, I pray that you would encourage us in these last days to shake off any form of timidity, wanting to be accepted by culture and society, and compromise just for the sake of compromise to get along. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, embolden your church. Embolden me. Embolden us so that when that great day, whether we'll be here or be with you, be united in being ushered by you, Lord Jesus, into the new heaven. I pray this in the matchless name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, praise the Lord.
Dr. Michael Youssef, challenging you to settle your eternity. And if you'd like some guidance from one of Leading the Way's pastors or counselors, consider filling out a short contact form at ltw.org/Jesus. Now, the content of today's message is shared in more detail in Dr. Youssef's new book, Heaven Awaits.
What will heaven really be like?
I believe in heaven. I believe when you pass away, your soul goes straight to heaven with God.
Maybe everybody goes to their own personal heaven.
I definitely believe in a heaven and a hell. If you're good, you go to heaven. If you're not good, you go to the other place.
What I'm most excited about for heaven is being able to see God, Jesus and God, face to face.
Overall, I do have an overwhelming sense that there is something after this.
It may be nothing. We don't know for sure.
I think it's really beyond our ability to comprehend.
We're all searching. The only way we can be sure of our future is by looking to Scripture. Discover the stunning truth about eternity as Dr. Youssef dismantles misconceptions and brings biblical clarity to the awe-inspiring reality of heaven in his highly anticipated new book, Heaven Awaits.
We are more confused about heaven today than any other time, including churches.
In Heaven Awaits, Dr. Youssef unpacks the facets of heaven's promised beauty, as well as the blessings and benefits that Jesus described in striking detail. Receive biblical clarity about heaven as Dr. Youssef dispels common and misleading misconceptions perpetuated in our culture. Allow Scripture to inform your understanding of heaven and be encouraged as you discover that it is better than you could possibly imagine.
Focusing on heaven produces godliness here and now. Focusing on heaven brings us joy and comfort here and now in the midst of trials.
This month, for your gift of any amount, Leading the Way will send you your own copy of Heaven Awaits. Uncover what the Bible really says about the path to eternal life. This is the perfect resource to both encourage the believer and reach the non-believer alike. Be inspired, encouraged, and comforted as Dr. Youssef reminds you that life is fleeting, but heaven is forever. Get your copy of Heaven Awaits for your gift of any amount today.
Learn more about Dr. Youssef's special offer to get Heaven Awaits when you give a gift of any amount to Leading the Way. Speak with a ministry representative at 866-626-4356. And the website is ltw.org. And remember to join Dr. Michael Youssef later on this week when he reveals more about the content of Heaven Awaits in a very special episode of Leading the Way. This program is furnished by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Learn more at ltw.org.